You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, pop culture reference, you're listening to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We're back after our 1 week hiatus. We have a bunch of news, but first let's talk about some things we've been checking out. And actually, you know what? I'm going to take the reins on this one. Let's get going. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling froggy. We're going to do this.
Did you say froggy?
I said froggy. We're feeling froggy.
Is that a thing?
Yes. Yeah, feeling froggy. It's a thing.
I've never heard that before.
Work that into your vernacular.
Yeah, but you also haven't watched like a billion movies worth watching.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with
with
weird cultural colloquialisms. Yeah,
yeah. It kind of does. I've heard it. I'm feeling froggy from somewhere.
No, yeah, I've heard it. I've used it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did. I just did.
It sounds like something you would say when your throat was bothering you.
No,
no.
You're like you're ready to jump. You're ready to go. You're jumping.
You feeling froggy? You feeling froggy?
Yeah. So anyway, so let's get into some things we've been checking out. One thing that Cody, Samantha, and I checked out, unfortunately, we can't really talk about it too much. It was the Cincinnati Underground Society show down in Cincinnati last weekend.
We're not allowed to talk about it.
We're not allowed to talk about it. It was hosted by Travis McElroy. I don't think that's a surprise. Travis McElroy of the
That's the only person there you're allowed to say was there.
Yeah, the McElroy Brother podcast empire that they've built. But it was a thing that we went to.
It was good.
It was
We're allowed
good.
To say it was good and that you should join.
That you should join. That is exactly it. It is a monthly show, so there are going to be plenty of opportunities to join. Go online. The next one is April 28th. And yes, this is terribly interesting for all of our listeners about a thing that we checked out that we can't talk about, but we're adhering to the rules.
There are strict rules. It's like a fight club.
It kind of. But I can't get into it because
maybe there's fighting.
Maybe there is. Maybe there's not. Yeah. Can't say.
I don't want to be the guy that spoils it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They.
I don't want Travis after me.
Yeah. He's too nice. I don't want him mad at me. That would feel extra bad. All right. So anyway, the other thing I checked out for the week. So Netflix has a TV show on it, as you do.
They have one.
They have
at
one.
Least, at, least.
At least one.
That's what
yeah.
I heard.
They have tens of shows.
They yes. Yes. At the very least. So this show that I watched is a must preference. It is for children. It's a kid's show. There is nothing in it for adults. You guys remember Reboot?
Yes. I loved Reboot.
Reboot was great.
We've also talked about it extensively.
We have?
Yeah. We talked about this Reboot a couple weeks ago.
Oh, we did. Yeah, you're right. Well, for the folks who... don't remember from a few weeks ago. The original Reboot was a CGI, was like...
The first CGI.
First of its kind, yeah. It was a totally CGI animated series based on...
Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, originally came out of Canada about basically a world that lived inside of like one computer. And it was these game cubes would come down, like not the Nintendo GameCube, but actual physical cubes would drop down into the city and convert parts of the city into like a game area, and they had to play against the user. And like they have the main characters was a guy named Bob who was like the guardian of the city, and there was Enzo,
a cool hoverboard,
and Dot Matrix.
She owned a diner.
She did have a diner. Yes, it was a great old show from the 90s.
Does not hold up. It
kinda.
No,
I mean,
the
CG doesn't. The CG is pretty much garbage. But the story was really
good.
I
remember trying to watch it when it was on Netflix and not being able to stomach it. So
it's all on ShoutFactory.com for free right now.
Oh.
It's all on their streaming site.
I don't know. I'll give it another chance. But
yeah. But ever since the show ended, and they did two like made for direct DVD movies or something like that.
Did they?
They did. Yeah. Huh. It was supposed to be a trilogy. They only did two of them. Since then, there have been rumors that they're going to bring back a reboot. There's going to be a reboot of a reboot. And they've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And eventually... the ownership of the Reboot brand changed hands about three or four times. And Netflix announced that they were going to have an original series called Reboot the Guardian Code. It was going to be their brand new, like, you know, updated version of the show. And then they had a casting call for live action actors and actresses, which is like,
should have been the first sign that things were in trouble.
It was the exact opposite of what you want from a reboot show where, you know, everything is set inside a computer. You don't need live action people. So they cast it and they did 10 episodes of this show. And I watched the first two of them. It's bad. Listen, I understand it's for children and I'm not the target audience, but there is zero. And listen, you guys know me. I like to give anything that's bad, I like to at least give a fair shake. I like, well, one, I like bad. And two, like, I can always find the positives in things. I try to anyway. There is zero.
Well, they tried to take Reboot and make a Power Rangers show out of it, for one.
Well, okay. Not even Power Rangers. Have you ever heard of a weird French cartoon called Code Lyoko?
I've heard of it.
I watched a lot of Code Lyoko.
It is almost exactly Code Lyoko, but worse.
Code Lyoko is not great.
Yeah, it's worse. There was zero redeeming qualities to this show.
There was also a live-action Code Lyoko.
Yeah, it's worse than that, too.
Think of the worst thing you can think of. It's worse than that.
Take the worst episode of Code Lyoko and the worst episode of, I'm not even talking like a first season Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I'm talking like right before Alien Rangers Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But worse. So the plot of this show is that it's set at the Alan Turing High School for computer kids and bloggers.
Influencers.
Yes, media influencers.
The school for influencers.
No, that's, I'm not joking, one of the four main characters has an online video blog. She's the opinionated alt chick who wears a leather jacket and doesn't play by anyone's rules. So there's four people who have never met that all get sent to a special homeroom through a hologram wall in the basement of their school, and they get sucked into the internet, where they play as their avatars, and like the first two episodes have them defending a like power grid that
Morphin grid.
Yeah, well, not even that. It's a power grid digitized that if weird robot bugs eat enough of it, all of the power in the UK is going to go out for some reason. This show's not set in the UK, by the way, so it has no effect on them. It's just, oh no, we got to protect England.
Nobody's like, well, that's their problem.
So the acting is substandard. Like, it's, everything is really like stilted. All the characters are incredibly one-dimensional. You have the cool skateboard riding kid who is secretly like super leadership man. And there's like the basketball player who's black. And he's the one that is like, I want to be the leader. And also is the big tough guy when he's in the game world. And then the opinionated alt chicks, like I mentioned. And then there is the Latino or Indian smart kid.
The ethnic kid.
Smart kid. Yeah. A lot of them
who
go
has
by
the power of heart.
He kind of, yeah, he's kind of the glue that holds the team together. He's kind of like the Billy and also the Mati from Captain Planet. Sure. They all go by screen names throughout a lot of the show.
I'm sure these are some winners.
There's like Vector and there's like
XXX underscore Vector Shadow.
Kind of like that.
69.
Well, the problem that I don't think they realized, the smart kid, the ethnic smart kid, his name is Googs, short for Google, because he's smart, but they can't say Google. But you know, he is kind of Asian. And you know what Googs kind of sounds like?
Oh, man.
Uh-huh. And they're yelling it at each other a lot. And sometimes it gets a little muffled and it doesn't come out super great. If you catch what I'm saying.
And no one had the foresight to go, hey, this isn't working.
Yeah, no. The show in its entirety is, hey, this isn't working, the TV series. There is a fifth member of the team who was a completely digitized person who then was given a body. And she, like, can control computers with her brain by going like this. I'm doing the sassy neck. You know when I say I'm doing the sassy head wiggle with the neck? That's what she does to control computers. It's not good. And, you know, I would be willing to look past it if all they did was take, like, the logo of Reboot and slap it on this veiled Power Ranger attempt where they could do even less work because it's all CG, and so they don't have to pay actors for like 90% of the show. Another thing they do is they put the actors' faces, like the Iron Man, like you just see the face with like the digital display for like 90% of the fight scenes so they can get away with it. I would be willing to give it like a little bit of a pass if it were just Reboot and name only. Episode 2 features the main villain from the original series, and he name checks the main hero, Bob, and also they walk past one of the main settings of the original series, Matrix's cafe or diner or whatever.
The city was called Mainframe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and it makes me mad. It makes me mad that they're like, they reference all this stuff.
Wait, so they went into the original computer?
No, they're on the internet.
Oh.
Somehow Megabyte got sucked into the internet zone. Yes, the TV show takes place in the VR zone, essentially. They get sucked into the VR zone where they have to fight space bugs. And an updated version of Megabyte, he spends one minute looking like his original character, like with the bad graphics, and then he gets an upgrade. So then he matches the CG for the rest of the series, and it looks worse. Like he is less articulated. It's awful.
Oh, no.
It's absolutely rotten.
Well, now I'm curious.
You say it's bad.
Yeah. And there's a really good video online about the history of the original Reboot series. It's on a channel called Wooly Versus. It's tied in with the Two Best Friends Play Let's Play group or whatever. And he did a lot more research into this than I will ever do because it's Reboot. But
because your time has value.
My time has value, and I have more important things to do, like watch old Power Ranger episodes. I'm a very busy man. But one of the things he dug up was an interview with the guy who's currently in charge of the company that has the rights to Reboot and is putting out the Guardian Code. And one of the things he's like, I want these human teens, I want them to be, you know, kids, I want them to aspire to be like these teens. Like the main character, Austin, he has leadership and he's cool and he rides a skateboard and kids are going to want to be him. Also, the owner of the company's son's name is Austin. This is not a joke.
But it is hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious, though. So,
it sounds like a show that that guy that worked at Nickelodeon that got fired for liking kid feet would make.
God. Yeah. So, and like, they telegraph like the mid-season.
Have you not heard that story?
No.
Oh, no.
What was his name? It was like Dan Schneider or something. The guy that created all of Nickelodeon's live action shows.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
iCarly and
Victorious.
Yeah. He got fired because he likes kid feet.
That's awful. That's just awful.
Yeah, it's real gross.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get off of that topic.
had a contest on Twitter where kids had to write the name.
Into one of his shows' Twitter page and asked kids to write something on the bottom of their feet and send the picture.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. No, thank you. Now I can't. No. Nope. you totally derailed me. I don't know where I was going with this.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Kid named Austin.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that sucks, and this show sucks, don't watch it. You can see where the mid-season, like, twist is going to come from, because there's, like, some, like, greasy old man, like, like, living in, like, a warehouse who's, like, the bad guy, and he's like the hacker man, and he's, like, greasy and old, and also the main lead character, Austin, his dad is mysteriously dead that everyone references for two episodes straight. So guess what? Chances are it's probably his dad in hiding and being a bad guy. You could see it coming a mile away. The show's rotten. Don't watch it unless you hate yourself.
I do.
I am not going to continue this series. I refuse to do it. It's not going to happen. Uh-uh. Nope.
You know, it really breaks my heart because Netflix has so many good projects and so many good shows.
Do they anymore?
They've been really, really slumming it lately.
Do you remember Bright? Do you remember Death Note? Two things that I also watched because I'm a glutton for punishment.
I haven't watched either one of those, but Voltron's good.
Don't do it.
I've heard great things about Voltron.
Yeah, I've actually heard things about Voltron. Yeah.
You know what I like is the Peabody and Sherman show.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? The movie was funny.
Yeah, it's just...
I loved the movie.
It's a great, like, goofy time killer show.
Yeah.
I didn't even mean to do that. It has great character designs and animation, too. It has a great style to it. I've probably talked about it on here before.
You probably have, but that's okay. We repeat ourselves sometimes. It's all good.
But yeah, there has been a lot of stinkers on Netflix lately.
Yeah, that's not been super great.
Not Wild Wild Country, though. That docuseries is awesome.
Okay.
Did I talk about it on here?
Nope.
No?
Talk about it.
It's a docuseries about this, like... Indian sex cult? Is it good to call it a sex cult? I've seen it called that, but they kind of gloss over what they're actually about in the documentary, which is not one of its strong points. But it's this cult that kind of got pressured out of India, so they move to a gigantic, like, $6 million plot of land they bought in the middle of Oregon.
Okay.
And start like a self-sufficient commune in there.
Huh.
And then the xenophobic rednecks in Oregon.
Like, don't spoil it, though, because it's a pretty wild ride.
Yeah.
Would you say it's buck wild?
Yes, it is. But the xenophobic rednecks in Oregon start getting upset because there's a bunch of religious weirdos, and they wear all red all the time. Well, red, orange, or purple.
Okay.
Which are all shades of red.
Yeah. But they wear red all the time, and so you've got this cult and these xenophobic rednecks going up against each other, and it's very much like nobody is in the right here.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anyone's on the good side on this particular thing. Okay.
But the twists and turns that it takes are buck wild.
Okay, what is this thing called again?
Wild Wild Country.
Wild Wild Country. Okay, cool. Do you guys have any other checkouts? I mean, we've gone 20 minutes.
Oh,
I've complained about Reboot enough,
actually,
so let's
have
do something else.
A load of movies that we've watched.
Let's do it.
Over
let's
the
get
past
into
week.
It.
Let's see. Where'd we start? We watched I, Tonya.
Oh, yeah.
How was that?
It was very good. I liked it a lot. Actually,
you say it's leg-shattering?
Yes. It was actually pretty funny at times and very... dark at times.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Maybe like a dark comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. How did Margot Robbie do as Tonya Harding?
Oh, she was really good.
Yeah,
she was excellent,
good.
Actually.
Good. I'm glad she is continually a good actress. I'm glad she's a really good actress. Yeah.
I'm glad Suicide Squad didn't tank your career.
Yes. Yes. That's what I was getting at.
The lady that plays her mom, though, is even better. She was phenomenal.
I know her name.
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney. Oh, man. Yeah, she is like, yeah,
and
sure.
Her mom was a character.
Yeah.
Like, they do interview, like, faux interview segments that are based on real interviews with the people in the story. Mm-hmm. And Tonya Harding's mom did her entire interview with, like, what kind of bird is that?
A conure
on her shoulder the whole time. Which is weird.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But sounds great.
Ben, her mom was just absolute, like, horrible, bizarre character.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever watch, like, you know, World's Dumbest on True TV, Tonya Harding being a regular host or a regular commentator.
Oh, she's on that a lot.
I didn't know she was on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she is, one, everyone makes fun of her because she is weird and probably the dumbest person on the planet.
She never finished school. Her mom pulled her out of school to skate all the time because she was going to make a champion.
So it's like pageant mom stuff?
Pretty much, yeah.
With even less love?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And it really, like, obviously they're leaning toward the side of that she didn't know that the attack was happening. But at the same time, the movie kind of lets you decide what you think.
Okay.
But it was an excellent movie. We also finally watched Baby Driver, and I didn't like it.
See, I haven't watched Baby Driver. I know what it's about, and I just...
I love Edgar Wright.
Well, yeah, I do
too. He's one of my favorite directors. Hot Fuzz is probably my favorite movie ever made.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah. I agree. Hot Fuzz is my favorite of the Cornetto trilogy, for sure. I mean, everyone loves Shaun of the Dead, but...
I love Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz is the better movie.
See, I'm more of... Because, yeah, I'm more of an action movie than a zombie movie guy, so, yeah.
But Baby Driver was just a lot of really well-choreographed musical car chases with the most bare-bones plot imaginable.
I didn't really care for Baby.
Yeah.
I saw there is a clip, like a 20-second like YouTube clip online that someone spliced in the Caddyshack theme, Kenny Loggins, for every like car chase.
Baby was... he had no personality, really, other than what a cool guy, I like music.
Well, didn't he have, like, tinnitus or something like that?
Yeah, that's why he's always listening to music, so he doesn't hear the...
Is it tinnitus or tinnitus?
It's tinnitus.
Tinnitus? Okay. See, I've heard it both ways, and, yeah.
I know they said tinnitus in the movie.
So. Oh, okay. Well...
There just wasn't enough there for me to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has this girlfriend who's magically like, yes, I will help you commit crimes. I'm in love. I'm in love. That's cool.
I love you.
I love you. That's cool, John Hamm.
Well, there's another reason not to watch the movie. John Hamm is a national treasure. Yeah. I don't want to see things
he's
bad.
He's pretty good
John
in
Hamm.
It, too. There just wasn't enough meat on
John Hamm.
There's plenty of ham on that boy.
Every time I hear John Hamm, I think of that SNL sketch.
The Ham and Bubbly?
The Ham and Bubbly. The John Hamm's John Hamm. Where he had that toilet paper roll full of ham. Yeah.
But I was surprised at how disappointed I was in Baby Driver.
It wasn't bad, though.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It's still something to watch that you won't hate.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Something that you won't hate. That's a high praise.
Unoffensive.
Yeah. I would have liked it more if it was a movie by anybody else.
Yeah.
But I expect a lot more out of Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even that funny, too. He's usually really good at...
Do you think that's because Simon Pegg wasn't involved in the process?
Maybe.
Or
Nick Frost. Yeah, because they're pretty integral to a lot of the things that he does.
Yeah, maybe.
And if Baby Driver isn't as impressive as it could have been, do you think that might have also been the way Ant-Man might have gone if they had kept him on the project or if he had stayed on the project?
I don't know. Because we did also watch Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I really liked it.
It's good. It's a good movie. It's not the best Marvel movie out there by any stretch, but it's a solid good movie.
It's a good superhero heist movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm excited for the Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Me too. Me too.
Because then you don't have to see it was Evangeline Lilly's sidelined for no good reason.
Yeah, that was kind of rough. Yeah.
I mean, not no good reason. Because, I mean, there was a reason why Hank Pym didn't want her to wear the suit.
Yeah.
But it still just kind of sucked.
She should have just did it anyway.
Yeah
that's... I mean, it would have been within her character to just do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But the drama outweighed the actual make sense part of the plot.
Well, they had to get over the hump of explaining how being tiny can be cool.
And they had to have a character that didn't know
what they were doing,
so they could explain it to the audience.
Exactly. What did you think of that final fight scene with Yellow Jacket in the bedroom?
It was awesome.
It was super good, right?
It was hilarious whenever it would cut away to like the actual size.
Yeah.
You just see it like knock a block over or
like
something.
Like the train set?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of falls off the track a little tiny bit.
Oh, man, that Thomas the Tank Engine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the big ant.
Yeah.
That's a weird dog. That's a messed up dog.
What did you think of his buddy recapping?
Yeah, that was funny.
Bits?
Yeah,
Luis.
Yeah, I really think that if Marvel, if they were smart, they would put out a YouTube video of Luis explaining the Marvel Cinematic Universe to this point in preparation for Infinity War.
Yeah,
and they have like cuts of him doing the voiceover with the different actors like voicing it. I think that would be great. Like a 3-minute video of it would.
Luis
be, like,
and Korg.
Yeah,
and Korg.
Korg. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait for whatever the next movie that, how do you pronounce his name?
Taika Waititi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever next movie he does.
Well, isn't he working on What We Do in the Shadows 2?
Yeah.
And also Werewolves?
We are Wolves.
Yeah. I know he's working on those, and I think he has the next Thor as well, which would be cool.
They would be dumb not to give him the next Thor.
Yeah.
Or just another Marvel just movie in
will
general.
Will there be another Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah,
of the original, of the main Avengers cast, Hemsworth is the one that said that, yeah, he's up for doing them as long as he can.
Mm. Yeah, after like, how good, it was specifically because Ragnarok was so good.
Yeah.
And different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It is my favorite Marvel movie. I mean, Black Panther was really, really great, but Thor Ragnarok was so funny and good.
Oh, yeah.
What else we got?
Actually, you know what? Let's take a break here, and when we come back, get into a little bit more of what we've been checking out. Let's just do as many check it outs as we can this episode. So,
sounds good.
Cool. We'll be right back.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus, 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hey, we're back. That was Kenny Loggins with I'm All Right, and you can't see it right now, but I am doing the Caddyshack Groundhog Dance.
He's not. He's lying.
I'm doing it, guys. I'm doing it.
Okay,
look at me go.
It's not a whole lot of enthusiasm in it, though. Okay, that's better.
Yeah?
All right, he's doing it.
I got it now?
He's doing it.
I'm doing the dance, you guys.
Enthuse that asm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so...
he's a Cinderella.
What?
I'm doing the Bill Murray's character in that. He's a Cinderella.
Oh, Cinderella story.
Yeah, it's a Cinderella story.
Oh, we got a hold of that one. Okay.
That's a good movie.
I love that movie. I love it so much. So yeah, we're still doing some check it outs. So you said you have more movies that you saw, right?
We watched Valerian last night and I did not like it.
Ah, that's such a shame.
I know, because there's a lot about it that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But movie, like, the dialogue is hot garbage.
It's like the worst. Every dialogue he thinks it should be like an 80s action movie quip, but not good ones either.
Oh. Yeah. And he delivers everything like...
They both do.
You're talking about the two main leads,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Valerian and Laureline?
Yeah.
It sounds like a bad Keanu Reeves action movie role. Like, mm-hmm. Think about how he delivers dialogue in one of his not good movies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a shame because I like Luc Besson a lot. And this is like...
I do too. I enjoyed Lucy. Yeah. That says a lot right there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I mean, this movie seemed like it was going to be at least visually the closest thing to Fifth Element.
And it kind of was, and it had the same kind of like goofiness, mm-hmm. but the rest of it just wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'm going to chalk this up to like Fifth Element being Besson's own like creation, where this was a
based off a comic,
a French graphic novel. Yeah. So like maybe he decided to adhere to the source material a little too much, or
I don't know enough about the source material.
I don't either.
I'm kind of interested, mm-hmm. though, because it was unique enough. The world was unique and weird in cool way.
It was thousands of worlds.
Yeah. It was a city of thousands of worlds. One could even say planets. I think the action wasn't terribly interesting either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to like it more than I did, but I got really bored like about halfway through.
See, that's the worst thing you can say to a sci-fi action film is that you got bored by it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It wasn't super green.
No.
What?
Are you gonna do the Ruby Rod impression?
Oh.
Can you do it? Yeah, let me hear your Ruby Rod.
I'm not sure I can.
No, that's not. That's not.
Let's pass on this one. Brain check. Okay. All right.
Rihanna was really good in it. I liked her and her character. She was the only one that delivered her lines in a way that was entertaining.
Oh, yeah. She was the
shapeshifter.
Yeah. They had a name for it.
Bubble.
No, like what she is.
Glamour pod or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Glamour pod. Okay. Rihanna looks like she's going to do an excellent job in Ocean's 8. Have you seen any trailers for that?
No.
It looks really good. Like it's not really a reboot, but it's like a side story to the Ocean's 11.
Oh, that's the
films.
The ladies version.
The lady version with Sandra Bullock and Kate.
Ocean's for her.
Yeah. But it looks different enough, and it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm.
See she.
What?
Oceans for her.
Oh, see she. Okay.
Oh, all right.
I get it.
Okay, it's a thinker. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's staying in.
Did we watch any other movies? We probably did, but I don't remember.
Well, while you're remembering, I actually have another thing I could talk about super quick. I finished Kirby.
I did
Star
too.
Allies. So we could probably talk a little bit about that.
The ending is very good.
It's super good. It's a super solid game.
The beginning is great. The middle stinks.
Yeah.
And the end is really good.
And like most modern Kirby games, the cutesiness of like 90% of the game is like super overtaken by the grand, epic, like super badass, like final boss.
I'm surprised there is not an additional second boss after you collect all the puzzle pieces or whatever, because that's usually what Kirby games do, is they leave a real nasty boss for after you've gotten all the MacGuffins, but they didn't do it.
I was really kind of thinking that was what the final boss in this was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was very the same kind of dark, weird space cosmic entity that...
It looks like Majora from Majora's Mask a little bit. Kinda.
In the first form,
In the first form.
But
yeah.
Later, when you fight like what it actually is, it looks like Kirby.
It looks like weird
like
Kirby.
Frighteningly a lot like Kirby.
Uh-huh.
Which means, is Kirby made of dark matter or whatever? Maybe.
I mean, he's a pink black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a force of destruction.
is Meta Knight and Kirby from the same alien race?
They've never like said for sure, but I think it's heavily implied that they are.
Gotcha. Okay. So why does Meta Knight talk and Kirby just goes, hi?
I don't know. Maybe Meta Knight's older.
Maybe. That's true. Yeah, I guess. Deep thoughts. Deep Kirby thoughts.
Yeah, deep
here.
Kirby lore.
What if Meta Knight is Kirby's like long lost thought dead brother, like Racer X?
I was going to say dad, but yeah. Actually, I think dad might actually work a little better.
Because he's always like trying to guide him and make him stronger.
Mm-hmm. Would that make a Waddle Dee Chim Chim?
Definitely.
In this
with
analogy.
With the bandana.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm glad we're in agreement on this one.
The deep lore of Kirby's Dreamland. I hope the next one doesn't have the friends system.
I liked it for this game. But it did make the game a lot easier.
It practically plays the game for you.
Kinda. But I found that with the final boss, I was basically became the healer, while the other team members would attack and then get knocked out. I would just be running back and forth and rezzing them, which I mean was fun in its own right, I guess. But like, you know, but no. But then you get to that final boss where you're, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but because Josh, are you playing it?
No.
Are you going to play it?
I don't know.
Okay, well...
Don't pay full price for it.
Don't pay full price, but the end boss is super good.
You can talk about it. I don't care.
Well, the whole, like, flying star thing with the blaster, that was super good.
Yeah.
Have you done any of the other modes in the Kirby?
I played a little bit of the boss rush. Mm-hmm. I played that through once on the easy mode, and I touch the other one briefly, but I'm like, I don't want to play through this all again.
Yeah.
Because the other ones just play through the game again, but now as a single power.
It's actually not that, it's not that bad. It's not through the entire game. Oh. It's a mashup of, there's like 7 stages and they're mashups of different worlds. So a kind of, it's like a truncated version of it, and you can recruit other team members, and it has a whole, all of the special characters are unlockables throughout that mode.
I already sent it back on Gamefly,
well. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. And I still haven't figured out what that one circle underneath everything else is. It's probably for like 100% completion or something. I don't know.
You got anything, Josh?
Josh, yes. Hey, Josh is here. Hey, Josh.
Hi.
Did you do anything in the past, like, week and a half, 2 weeks? Amp Guard?
A little Amp Guard.
Okay.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk about your pirate adventures.
I mean, I've got some stories.
Sure, let's hear it.
Cody has one.
Yeah, oh, yeah, my ship flew away.
Oh, yeah?
I was playing it, and I got disconnected, and my ship just suddenly just starts rising into the air. I'm like, why is that island getting smaller? I'm flying. And then I got disconnected and didn't get to turn my chickens in.
I hate the merchants. It is my least favorite of the three factions to do anything for.
It's the only one I've tried. I've only played it a couple times. It runs like garbage on our computer.
It's so boring. It's like, here's some cages, go get chickens. That's all of them.
Yeah, and then you got to go to an island. It doesn't tell you where.
No, it just says you'll find them.
Yeah, and then you go to an island and hope they have the chickens of the right color.
Yeah, or have chickens at all.
Yeah, and then chase them around, put them in the cage, and then take them all the way back.
No, what's fun is if you have to collect a bunch of pigs, because then you got to feed the pigs.
Boy, this sounds like a fun pirate game where you're fighting on the high seas.
Well, that's why the merchant quests are terrible.
They're terrible. They are terrible versus the riddle solving, chest finding of the treasure hoarders, or the fighting of the skeletal cursed captains of the Order of Lost Souls.
Nice.
Anyway, because those are the ones I do.
Sure. Because you're a cool guy.
The skeletons are fun to fight.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Until they all spawn and have guns.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And they all have, like, dead-eye accuracy for your head. It is awful. It's like, oh, look, they got guns. Oh, I'm dead. But I had full health. I'm dead.
Sea of Thieves is an online persistent... Is it persistent world?
Kind of
pirate game.
I mean, you're kind of just dropped in the world, and there are other players, and then, you know, randomly a skeleton fort raid will pop up. You go do.
Hmm.
But and then there's weather and all kinds of stuff. There's wind. It's
the water is insane.
Oh yeah,
looking like.
Oh yeah, I sailed off the edge of the map the other day just to see what happens.
Is it flat?
No. The sea turns blood red, and the music gets super creepy. And then all of a sudden, your ship just starts springing holes you can't keep up with.
Oh wow.
Yep. And then you sink.
I love how the sinking works too. Below deck, your ship will get holes in it, and you have to patch them up with boards.
Oh, really?
And your ship will actually start filling up with water.
And you got to bail it out with a bucket.
Yeah, you got
a
bucket. You got to bail out the water.
Wow.
Fun fact, if you get really drunk with the bucket, you can throw up in the bucket and throw it at people, and it blinds them. Their whole screen just turns green.
That's awesome in piracy.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Let's see here. I fought the Kraken once.
Nice. I didn't even know there was a Kraken.
There is a Kraken. It only appears if you are on a galleon, and there's no real cue when it happens. Like, I was with this group of guys, and we were just sailing along, just going to this island.
Yeah, like you do.
Like we do. And all of a sudden, the ship just stops dead in the water. No noise, no creaking. The water turns black, and this musical score starts swelling. And all of a sudden, these huge green tentacles just come out of the sea. We're like, well, crud.
I'm sure that's what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm positive that's what you
said. Gosh, darn it.
Diddly dang darn.
Yeah. Yep. And that's fun, because sometimes it'll wrap a tentacle around the ship, and you got to go like shoot it off to make it let go, and then you got to go fix the holes. Mm. Sometimes it'll grab you off the ship and hold you in its... Like, some of the tentacles have like these mouths on the end of them. Like they open up like the Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
Oh, nice.
And they grab you.
Nice.
We didn't kill it, but we survived it. I don't know if it's a timed thing or what. I'm assuming it's a timed thing. Mm. That was interesting and fun. Also, I hate playing with people who don't have microphones.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
Because like the way like the sailing mechanics work, it takes a lot of teamwork.
Sure.
You can do like the little ship by yourself, but the big one, can't do it by yourself. Like you can, but it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah, and you can't really see because of the sail.
You know, like, you can't see at all.
You need somebody to look out and tell you what to do. That's...
Yeah, and hope they're paying attention. Because that's happened. Anyway, some fun stories. Me and Matt were doing a thing with a group of people. Skeleton Fort popped up. We're like, hey, let's go over there. So we sail over to the skull, and you can tell when there's an active Skeleton Fort because there's a big skull cloud in the sky with green lightning eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Which, sure. Fun fact, the eyes will turn red when somebody is actively attacking the skeleton waves.
So you know when you can come in and steal all their stuff when they're done.
Or you could do what we did. We came in, and they had their ship anchored right next to the island, and they were doing the waves, and we just kind of came through and sunk their ship.
Oh, nice.
Like they're sitting there shooting the ship, and I jumped off and swam over and just started killing the crew that was on the ship.
Oh, wow.
And then the ship sunk. They never came back. And then we fought the skeleton waves. We killed two waves, and then the boss showed up. There are 8 skeleton waves on an island. They did all the work for us.
Nice. All right.
And it's pretty much almost a guaranteed 15K haul.
Nice.
When you bring all the treasure back. They rage quit. They didn't come back. That was fun. There was the other day I tried to get on some strangers, you know, random grouping up with people on a ship.
Sailed with some randos.
Yeah. Sailed with randos. That's a crapshoot. As soon as I logged in. Oh, by the way, the initial login of the game, like the loading time is ridiculous.
It is pretty long.
Like it's so bad. Like once you get into the game, the loading times aren't as bad, like when you die and come back and stuff like that. I mean, it's still long, but it's not as bad as the initial one. I load in, and the galleon I was on is sinking, and all my crew is in the water, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And here's the ship that sunk them, like just kind of sitting above my head, and I'm watching like people fight underwater, shooting at each other, and I'm like, hmm. So I climbed the rope ladder on the side of this other ship, and I just kind of hung on there and waited for them to sail away. And I can hear them talking because there's proximity chat that you can't shut off.
Okay.
So you can hear when somebody's talking or whatever, and they can hear you too. So I'm sitting there, I'm hiding on this ladder, and they're just talking about, you know, oh yeah, we sunk this ship, blah, blah, blah. So I climb the ladder, and nobody's above the deck. I'm like, what is going on? So I go down the stairs, and they're like downstairs, like, patching holes, and I'm like, well, here we go. Boom, boom. And all of a sudden, I hear like 12-year-olds shrieking in my ears.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm like, today was a good day.
It's such a neat game. It makes me really want to either buy a new computer or an Xbox.
It's fun. I enjoy it a lot. I do really wish there was more meat to the game.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, is that there's not a lot to do, but what there is to do is fun with friends.
Yes. Now, granted, I don't know how much of the game changes once you reach Pirate Legend status. Mm.
Isn't there only one person that's done it?
No, I think there's been a couple.
Oh, okay.
But you have to reach a certain level with all the factions, and you gain Pirate Legend status, which gives you access to this pirate hideout somewhere on the map. And you can get Pirate Legend missions, which I don't know how different or whatever those are. Supposedly, you get some new, like, stuff, like, to decorate your ship and whatnot with.
Mm-hmm. I heard that everything you get for your character is purely cosmetic.
Yep.
There's no... You start the game with all the skills and abilities that you need, and the level progression is just you as a player getting better.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Everything is
really,
cosmetic.
Really interesting.
Any kind of progress you make with the different factions, all it does is unlock better missions, mm-hmm. that yield more money, but also increase difficulty.
To buy more hats.
To buy more hats, to buy each one of the factions has equipment you can buy that is visually distinct to that faction.
Okay.
Like, I have this ghost lantern.
Nice.
That it's also... The lantern is, like, the only thing I've seen that actually has seems to have a legitimate advantage over normal lanterns. Like, normal lanterns are, like, you know, they've got this, you know, kind of yellow firelight. This one is, like, a bright blue, almost white light.
Okay.
And it really lights stuff up.
Cool. Cool.
And then it's like, you know, just everything is, you start the game with, you know, all the equipment you would need. Shovels, bucket, spyglass, weapons, a pocket watch.
What is it? Does that do anything?
The pocket watch displays the date and a time, which you use for merchant quests because you have a deadline. Have a deadline to get the thing, whatever you need, delivered to the specific outpost you need to deliver it to. But everything else is just like, okay, well, solve this riddle, go to this island and, you know, get this treasure. Or here's a map with some X's on it. Hope you can find it. But yeah, and there's instruments to play, which are fun, but also do serve an in-game purpose. Certain riddles require you to play an instrument to unlock the next portion of it.
Huh.
Also, you can play it next to snakes, and they won't bite you. They get all calmed down, and they sit there and go... and do a little snake dance, just like that.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Rare making a good game again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, they're due.
I mean, it's enjoyable. I do wish there was more to do. I feel like sometimes the game is... Because the game's been out for like 2 weeks now, and every week there is a big update of bug fixes.
Well, that's good.
Oh, here's a funny bug I had yesterday. Or was it yesterday? The other day. I'm on a galleon and we roll up into town and we had like a lot of treasure. We've been like doing stuff like for a few hours and we had a lot of stuff. And there was a ship sitting at port. Like, well, we don't want them to jump on our ship, so we just flat out started attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the ship shooting the cannon, and the guys I was playing with jumped onto their ship to just kill whoever's on it. And I'm like, oh, I got a hit marker because I got this little X on my screen from the cannon. Apparently what had happened was there was one guy on that ship. One of the dudes from my ship was getting ready to fight him with a sword. I cannoned the guy so hard that he went flying like Team Rocket into the frickin' horizon. But here's the other thing. Because his ship was so close to land, like where the island rises up out of the sea, it bugged out and caused the ship to bounce off the land and go shooting through the air, doing tumbles.
Nice, all right.
I was like, what? I was like, wow. And then when it fell back into the water, it sank.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, there's video.
I wish
video.
We could all play this.
Yeah, like, right.
I mean, I'd love it. I need more pirate friends. I don't trust anyone.
Oh, no, they're
pirates.
No,
of course not. They're
pirates. I see any ship on the horizon. Like, I had a friend who got the game. And was immediately complaining of the PvP griefing system in the game.
It's not griefing, it's pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, there are levels of griefing, and they actually, in the update for this week, they changed respawn distances. So, like, say you sink a ship, instead of spawning at the closest island and then they coming back at you almost immediately, it is now, they spawn their ship out of visual distance.
Okay,
so
fair.
It will take longer for them to get, because it ran into issues with people griefing people or fights over skeleton forts turning into just stalemates.
Mm-hmm.
That was something they did. There were bugs with not getting rewards on, like, either at all or on time from turning in quests or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd have to log out, come back in to get your money. That was really frustrating. But that's been fixed. I don't know. I have fun. I have some slight, I don't know if you want to call it PTSD, but it's like I see any ship, I'm immediately like.
Gotta think it.
I don't so much as like, I have my guns, I'm like on a cannon, like getting ready to pop you, and then you'll just sail by, and I'm like, that's what I thought. But no, I like it, it's fun. Finding resources sometimes sucks. Especially if you had like a long drawn out fight. I'm like, well, I'm out of cannonballs. Well, you can either scuttle the ship and get a refreshed one, or you can go to an island and hope they have barrels of cannonballs.
Mm.
or wood or bananas. So many bananas.
So you can crunch them.
Yeah, so I can crunch those bananas whole.
Mm-hmm. Peel and all.
Yeah, peel and all. And I'm like, ew. Like I said, I really want more, like, more stuff in the game, more things to do. Heck, more cosmetic stuff.
I'm sure they'll add more.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of cosmetic stuff, but a lot of it is recolors of existing stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And it's incrementally more expensive.
I feel like it's going to be like a Splatoon thing where at launch everybody's like, there's not really enough here.
And then
suddenly.
By the end, there's going to be a ton of stuff.
There's a rumor that another giant monster will show up, a giant crab.
Cool.
There are actually like primitive paintings on certain islands that display a giant crab.
Okay, right on.
Like I said, I like the game a lot. I really enjoy it.
I'm down for any piratey adventure.
I'm definitely more interested in this than Ubisoft's Skull and Bones game.
Because that's more about boats.
Yeah, Skull and Bones is all, everybody has their own ship. And they man it by themselves. And it's all just ship on ship PvP fighting. At least with this game. Yeah, there's a little bit of, you know, whimsicalness to it. You know, you can put yourself in a cannon and shoot yourself out somewhere.
They really nailed the visual design, too.
I like the kind of cartoony design of it. Like, I love it. It's very charming.
I wish there was a character creator instead of, like, just...
their infinite pirate option. Yeah, you just sit there and flip through pages of pirates.
Until you find one that you like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to have Owen Wilson nose, though.
Wow.
I've done that a few times.
Worked it in there. We got it. All right.
Should we hit a couple of news topics before we're done?
We have 4 minutes, so let's do it.
Wait.
Okay.
I went back and I started playing Neverwinter Nights 2.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
That's a old pull.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the fact that we found these different ways to make it work online. Because the Obsidian server doesn't exist anymore.
That's almost half the fun, isn't it?
Oh, I hated it. It was so... but also, going back and playing this game, I forgot how much I hated the camera. Like, the camera and some of the controls are just awful. Like, me and Matt are playing. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. We eventually got super frustrated and just... I quit. Anyway, that's that. News.
We have time for one news article.
Oh,
so,
man.
Pick your poison, dealer's guys.
Choice.
Pick your poison.
Spyro.
Spyro.
Back.
Hey, yo, Spyro.
Hey, it's finally happening. Spyro remastered.
Yep.
Spyro reignited.
They're doing a 3-game remaster, not unlike Crash Bandicoot, for Spyro on the PlayStation. Comes out in September.
I welcome our new purple overlord. I know. I played a lot of those games when they came
out. I tell
you,
I am really loving this because they're bringing back some of my favorite games. I love the Crash games. I love Spyro. The fact they're bringing Medieval back, and I loved the Medieval games as Sir Daniel Fontescue, the Skeletal Knight.
Now, will Elijah Wood voice Spyro and David Spade voice the Firefly? Like in the one?
Please, yes.
In one Spyro game.
Please make that happen.
Not any of the good ones. But there was a Spyro game where that was the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
God, who would be today's like equivalent to Elijah Wood and...
Elijah Wood.
David Spade, yeah.
Yeah, he's a hobbit. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but David Spade, I don't know. Who's today's equivalent of David Spade?
Snarky comedian who's only funny when he appears in other people's movies.
Charlie Day?
You take
treasure.
That
yeah.
back.
He's funny in everything that he's in.
I know. I love Charlie Day.
I was, until you said only funny in other people's movies, I was going to say Joel McHale.
Actually, I kind of see that. Because I think, as much as I like Joel McHale, I think he works best when he is like in someone else's thing. Or like if he's the focus, then he has a good ensemble cast with him.
Yeah. So maybe Sparks the Dragonfly will be voiced by Joel McHale.
Yeah, there you go.
Elijah Wood and Joel McHale.
That's not bad.
Or, you know, just make Spyro David Spade and the Firefly John Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
I need to watch the new Roseanne. I'm hearing really good stuff about it.
I
don't like it?
I should preface that I didn't enjoy the original Roseanne.
See, I really liked the original Roseanne. Well, except that last season.
My opinion of new Roseanne is probably partially colored by not really enjoying the property as a whole.
You're saying it's crazy.
I have trouble separating the show from the political comments of the actual Roseanne.
Yeah, that's, you know, I could try to, like, divorce art from artist to a point, but there's a line, and...
And it's not worth the mental work you have to do to separate the art from the artist for Roseanne.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, we made it to the end of the show, guys. Congratulations. We ended it. We got it. We got an hour. We did a good. Thank you all for tuning in to the show this week. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find this podcast. And that's it. We'll
And Instagram.
Oh, and Instagram. We're on Instagram too. Can't forget Instagram. Oh my goodness. We will be back next week. Thank you all again for listening.
Peace out is the thing I say at the end.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.